wondering, is that really for me? If I could just know that it's true. I know I've told y'all this. I hope it makes the point that I'm trying to make to you. When I lived in Oskaloosa, we went calling on Wednesday nights, and we went to a couple's house, and we walked up to the door. Who am I talking about? Don DeMars, right? Don DeMars. Don DeMars and I, we talked about this not long ago. We ran into him. We talked about this night. Well, I'll never forget it. He had never forgotten it. We walked up, and the guy came to the door, opened the door, and just backed up. So we didn't know him from Adam. We didn't know him at all. We walked in the house. It was as though he was expecting us. We started talking to him, told him we were from the Church of the Nazarene in Oskaloosa. This girl came out and stood kind of not in the living room. And he was telling her, he said, "Oh, I think you want to talk to her." And we said, "No, we want to talk to both of you." He said, "No, she's the one that needs it." And we're sitting here going, "What?" You know, we didn't know what. It was like he thought we had an appointment with him, and we were just calling. So he says, and she told him to be quiet in not nice terms. She said, "You know, shut up." And he said, "No, you need to talk to these guys. They're here for you. You need to talk to them." And she was like, "Don't you say another word. I'm going to go in here and make a sandwich. You talk to them." He said, "Don't you go in there." They're having this conversation now like we're not even in the room. And all of a sudden he looks at us and he says, "She worships Satan. That's why you're here, right?" We're all suddenly like, "Yes, that's why we're here." Check that door one more time. And so he starts telling us things that were happening in their house and how Satan was messing with both of them, but he didn't like it, and she did. And he said, "My grandmother's a good Catholic, and I know better than this." And he was from Los Angeles, California. He was in a gang and had fled to try to evade the police. Long story made short, we all four ended up on our knees in that living room. And that girl was weeping her eyes out, and she said, "If I really thought God was stronger than the devil, I would accept him right now. But I know how strong the devil is." And she wouldn't pray. She would not pray. They agreed to come to church. This was on a Wednesday night. I took the boy with me because they needed food in the house. I don't remember, she told us the kind of sandwich she was trying to make, and it didn't sound like anything I wanted. I said, "Y'all need some food." So I put him in the car, and oh, I just got to tell you, he wore black boots and skinny jeans, and this was a long time ago, before skinny jeans were popular. He had on skinny jeans tucked in. He put on his jacket. He put his ponytail up and pulled it real tight, put on a red bandana, and he said, "I'm ready." I was like, "You're ready for something, but I hope we're not going wherever you're ready for." So, because he put on his gang apparel, because he wasn't going out that door and not look right. And so I put him in the car, went back to the church to pick up my wife and children, and my wife looked in there and was like, "What are we doing?" I said, "I'm taking him to get some food." She said, "We'll be here when you get back." So I took him down to Econo Foods, bought him some food, took him back home. Don DeMars and I talked. He said, "I'm going to go Sunday morning and pick him up." He went Sunday morning to pick him up, and the guy was out in shorts picking up glass in the front yard. The front door was all broken out, and he went up to the guy and said, What happened, man?" He said, "She tried to kill me this morning." And he said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I was ironing a shirt to wear to church." He said, "We were coming." And he said, "That devil got a hold of her again. And she grabbed that iron and come after me." And he said, "I got the door shut and she come right through the door with the iron." Said, "One of the neighbors called the police." And he said, "They've got her and she's gone." So we went to the sheriff's office and the sheriff said, "Do you know that guy?" We're like, "We don't know that guy." He said, "He has a rap sheet that long in California. He's a criminal. What are you doing hanging around with him?" We said, "We're trying to help him." Now, why did I tell you that story? Because she was that close, and he was ready. He was that close. She was that close. He was ready. And she said, if I really thought, that's how close we got that night to them praying. And if you're wondering, yes, I prayed with one eye open. You do that when you're kneeling with a Satan worshiper, because you don't know what's happening. See, I'm not telling you you're a Satan worshiper, but if you don't worship Jesus Christ, you are a Satan worshiper. Oh, don't let me offend you. If you don't worship Jesus Christ, you worship Satan. Not as openly as she did. Hey, I didn't even see you, Mike. Do you remember hearing that story by any chance? He was the other call. Well, I just can't go back there anymore. That's good. We went calling too, but Don DeMars, we were together more. Mike Brooks, that's a long ago, man. That's so long ago. Wow. Can I just tell you this morning, there's somebody in this room that close, and you don't know it, but Satan has a grip in your life. Satan does. Not you. Not you saying, I'm not sure. Satan has a grip on you, and you need to know that. Now, I'm going to preach, because how long have I got? Does that say 25 after? I got tons of time. You ready? Listen fast. John the Baptist. Now, we're on the Law and the Prophets, right? We're on the Law and the Prophets. So, listen, Matthew 11. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? No, I tell you, those who wear soft garments sit in kings' houses. So what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you. Now listen carefully, because these are the hard verses right here. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law, there's the term, all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Father, bless the reading of your word. Help us this morning, Lord, to understand. And God, I realize it's Sunday morning. Many of these people won't be back tonight. But God, I wish they would. Tonight's the other part of this sermon. The part's really more personal for us. So God, let us hear this morning what you say to us. Let us hear. It said if you're willing to hear it, if you're willing to receive it, if you're willing to accept it. This is Elijah that this word spoke of. Help us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This may not be the easiest scripture to digest, because I think the English maybe doesn't do it a lot of justice, but I want to take just a moment and try to show you the ministry of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, and how critically important he was to the ministry of Jesus. Now, I want to, point one says John built a bridge, and I'm going to say later, if I don't forget, I have it later, John drove a wedge. I say he built a bridge. He was the bridge from the Old to the New Testament, but he drove a wedge. And we'll talk about that when we talk about verse 12. John the Baptist built a bridge from the Law and the Prophets to Jesus. There's so much we could read here, but we don't have time. But I'm guessing you have thought about this before. John was held in high esteem. You remember the scribes and the Pharisees, and maybe even some of the chief priests would come out to hear him. He was down beyond Jericho, beyond the Jordan, in the wilderness, and the people would come down from Jerusalem around Jericho, and then they would go out and listen to John the Baptist preach. And he wore mohair suit. Wait, that's Billy. What's that? Benny and the Jets. What? That's a camel suit. That's what he. Donna, you knew that song, didn't you? Electric boots, a mohair suit. You know, I read it in a magazine. I don't even know anything about that. Golly. Don't do that, preacher. We got to hurry. Okay, I'm on it now. He wore a leather belt, a coat made of camel's hair, and camels stink when they get wet. So what do you think that tells you? He's baptizing people. Good grief. He was wet all the time. Stinking John the Baptist. That's probably what they called him. He ate locusts and wild honey, which I could deal with the wild honey, but that locust part, I'm not sure. And people flocked literally to hear him speak. And you know what he preached? He preached the message of Jesus. He preached repentance from sins. He preached a new life and a new way, but the cross wasn't there yet, and so the people couldn't understand it. But the people from Jerusalem, the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, man, they went down there and they said, we should get baptized by this guy. He's really popular. The people love his message. Maybe if we get baptized, we'll be popular. What do you think? And they were all like, yeah, yeah, let's get baptized. So they start out in the water. You know what happens, right? John stops them. He says, what are you doing coming out in the water? I'm not baptizing you. I have not seen any works that match repentance. Get back on that bank and listen a little bit. Now they took that. Man, they took that. He was, woo, John the Baptist was, woo. I mean, he was something. And then later, you know this story, but they held John in esteem and hated Jesus. And my question is why? And I want to read now Matthew 21, 23 through 27. Now Jesus came into the temple, and the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Jesus answered and said to them, I will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or was it from men? They reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why didn't you believe him? Why didn't you repent and give show works of repentance so he would baptize you? Why didn't you do it? But if we say from men, yeah, the people thought John was a prophet and they might stone us. So they said, we do not know where the baptism of John came from. He said, I didn't think so. And neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. You're supposed to laugh right there because that's hilarious. Jesus got in their face and said, you people are supposed to be religious leaders. You're not even leaders, and you're certainly not religious. You've led these people down a horrible road. So who was John the Baptist? He was a prophet from the Old Testament, the very last one. He was a prophet from the Old Testament, which meant he was under the law. He was from the law and the prophets. That's crazy right there. That's crazy right there. But now I'm going to put in one more plug. I prayed it, and I'm going to say it. Tonight, my sermon title is, the word prophet can be a little deceiving. We don't always get prophet. I've told y'all before about my neighbor, and he was right. He was right, but just the way he said it kind of disturbed you a little bit. He would walk out on his back porch, lift his hands up, and scream at the top of his lungs, I am the prophet of the Most High God. That's how he announced his presence to the world in the morning. And he would come over. I lived in the dorm. My wife and my family, we lived in the dorm. I was the dean of men. And we had one television in the place that the boys could go watch, and that guy from across the street would come there and want to watch TV because he didn't even have one. He would come over there and watch the TV in the men's, the dorm's lounge, and somebody would come in and say, John, you don't live in the dorm. You don't get to pick the channel. Guess what he would say? I and the prophet of the Most High God. And they would always walk out the door and usually come straight to my room and tell me, and I would have to go tell John to go home. See, that's why the word prophet can be a little deceiving, is because people want to use it in a way that sounds a little more authoritative than maybe it is in the New Testament. Tonight we're going to talk about the difference in an Old Testament prophet and a New Testament prophet. I would invite you to come back at 6 o'clock. We're going to have a grand old time. So, you want to get down to the meat of this thing? Let's look at verse 11. It says, "Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women there has not been one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Okay? That's what we're looking at now. So who was greater than John the Baptist? That's kind of the deal right there, isn't it? Who was greater than John the Baptist? Verses 11 and 12 both are kind of difficult. If you have your Bible open, I would just encourage you to open it to 11 and look at 11 and 12. Just keep reading those over and over, and I'm going to talk about them just a minute. Jesus says, "Of those born of women, none is greater than John the Baptist," and then says, "Anyone already in heaven is greater from the Old Testament perspective." Now, I got to tell you, I'm telling you that this is what I believe this means. People in the New Testament, Jesus has not gone to the cross yet. Provision for sin has not been paid yet. Atonement has not been made yet. Jesus used a term, kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God, and they're not, I don't believe, interchangeable. And in the Old Testament, when they would talk about the kingdom being futuristic, people that were in heaven were in heaven. They talked about heaven, but Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven once he came. And so we're in that bridge period where he says John the Baptist is an Old Testament prophet, but he's still alive. Anybody from the Old Testament who makes it to heaven is better off than John the Baptist. You understand why that's true? Anybody alive right now who has not made it to heaven yet, anybody in heaven's better off than we are. You agree with that? Train's leaving at 1:30. See, we say that all the time. Boy, I can't wait to go to heaven. Just hope it's not today, because we love life here. But I'm telling you, finishing this race is the plan. Getting done is the point of it all. That's why there's a devil. His goal is to thwart you making it. His goal is to keep you out of heaven so that you go to hell with him. He hates your guts. He hates you. The devil is not telling you anything for your good. He'll make you think it, because he'll tell you how special you are and how, you know, you don't ever get treated right. And he'll tell you how wronged you've been. And he'll tell you, it's all about you and your feelings and blah, blah, blah. And he's lying through his teeth. All he really wants you to do is be mad at God. That's all he wants. He's a liar. And he's the father of lies. I got to get off the devil. I'm not giving him credit. I'm just telling you, because I still think there's somebody in here listening to him right this very minute. Right now, the devil's lying to somebody, maybe more than one. But here we go. Matthew 18. Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted, turned over, changed, and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." You see the point he's trying to make now. He's in the New Testament now. He's talking New Testament terms, entering into the kingdom of heaven. But he was saying humility and true change is what will get you to heaven. What was John teaching? Baptism of repentance. Go read Acts 19. It'll explain it really well. So when the scribes and Pharisees come down and they say, you know, we might better at least show that, you know, we're buying into this so that the people will like us, because they really think this guy's got it going. And John wouldn't have any part of it, because he said, I don't see any change in you. You have not changed. So until you change, no baptism. There's people today, I guarantee you, there's people today who think they're going to go to heaven. And if you say why, they'll say, well, I was baptized. Hello? Listen to what I just said. John said, I have not seen any change in you, therefore you don't get baptized. You can find a preacher somewhere that'll dunk you underwater. I've probably dunked people underwater that were not really saved, but they really wanted to seek after God, and I hate to say no to somebody who wants to be baptized. But if you think getting dunked underwater is going to put you in heaven, it will not. You got to have change in your heart and in your life. It's going to show up and it's going to show out. God working in you. And Jesus said, if you will become humble like a little child and change, then you can make it to the kingdom of heaven. In the Old Testament, heaven was a literal there already. That's the difference. Now, I want to go to verse 12. I don't know if you have a different version, but I'm going to give you mine. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now. That means from John's preaching to when Jesus is talking right here. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. How many of you have ever read that verse and said, wonder what that means? What's the kingdom of heaven suffers violence? And the violent take it by force. Violent men, as some translations say. That's kind of a hard verse right there, but I want to just give you another verse and see if that helps us a little bit. It's in Matthew 19:14. Think about this now. We use this at baby dedication. Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Do you think it's possible that maybe we don't use the definition of suffer correctly? Do you think Jesus was saying, oh, go ahead and let them come, but I'm suffering because of it? Do you think that's what he meant when he said, suffer little children and let them come to me? I'm guessing not. And so when it says that from the time of the teaching of John until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. I'm guessing suffer right there doesn't mean it is suffering, because I looked that word up and I was kind of amazed to find out in the Greek language that word literally means to press. So Jesus said, hey, press those kids in here to me. He put them in his lap. He put his arms around them. He said, press in close, guys. That's how I like it. I want you to know that I want you. Suffer means press, okay? You with me? So I'm going to give you verse 12 again. From the Greek language, I'm saying I believe this is kind of how it should be, and I can't explain to you why. You can go read commentaries and they'll talk about suffering and bloodshed and all kinds of stuff. I think that's just not correct. Let me tell you what I think it means. So here it is. The kingdom of heaven, that is now the New Testament gospel. In the Old Testament, it meant people in heaven. But here he means the New Testament gospel has pressed onto the scene with force. And forceful men have seized it with the same energy. Very different understanding. Instead of violent, the word is forceful. It's a lot of difference, because the word does not mean any action of violence. It doesn't mean that. It means force, as in presence, not war. Okay? That's kind of important to me. John the Baptist was one of those men. His preaching was hard. He was an Old Testament prophet. He was telling them about the one who was to come, so that when he sees Jesus coming toward the water, he tells his disciples, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was prophetically speaking there. You know that story. I'm not going to go there, but when Jesus walks down into the water, John the Baptist looks at him and says, you come to be baptized by me, when in fact I should be baptized by you. See, John knew stuff that was coming. John knew stuff that was coming. I believe it was Jesus who said, verily I say unto you, John baptizes unto repentance. No, that was that John talking? I baptize you unto repentance, but there's one coming after me, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Wow. See, John knew that stuff. He was a prophet in the Old Testament definition. He got it. But in his day, he was a bridge. I said that, but now I'm going to tell you, he was a wedge. He drove a wedge with great force so that he said to the religious people of their day, you are not getting it done. Your religion is old and worn out. Your religion doesn't change hearts and lives, but there's one coming and he's on the scene. Oh, it's about to be a new day in Israel and around the world. He drove a wedge. Now, well, let me give you point three, and we're about done. That line makes more sense than when you look at 13 through 15. Let me give you those. For the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you're willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. All right? So, if you understand that John was one of the forceful men, not violent men, not the soldiers who went to Bethlehem and killed the babies. They were violent men, but they were not pressing the gospel at all. They were not trying to suppress the gospel, although it's what it would have been had they accomplished. They were fighting an earthly king because Herod the Great heard there was a new king in Israel, and he wanted that king dead. That's all that was. They weren't doing anything spiritual, although it played right into Old Testament prophecy because it says, and it uses the term Rachel because that was the mother, you know, one of the 12 of two of the boys, and this was their area. And so in the Old Testament it says Rachel weeping for her children because they are no more. That's what that's a reference to in the New Testament. Wow. All this prophecy concerning Jesus. The law and the prophets are until John. And if you're willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's the most important line. We could debate over Elijah all day long. We could debate over the law and the prophets and the validity of them all day long. John was a bridge. He was one of those forceful men. Let me give you one more real quick. There's a guy. He oversaw the death of Stephen. He asked for letters to go to Damascus so that he might arrest anyone he finds who was a part of the Way. The Way being one of the early names for the Christian church. He was given those papers and was on probably a horse on his way to Damascus, and a bright light shined on him, blinding him, and knocked him from his animal, from his mount is all it says. And the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Isn't it hard to kick against the goads or the pricks, some translations say? And Saul of Tarsus, blinded, but seeing the bright light, says, Lord, who are you? Knowing who it was. And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecute. Go into Damascus. Go to a street called Straight. Ask for the home of one Ananias and wait until I tell you what to do. Saul went there. The men saw the light but heard no voice. They led him, but apparently they did not buy into this, so they left him there. You know the story. Ananias, well, he went to a street called Straight. Ananias went to that same house, prayed over him, and with the same energy that Saul persecuted the church, Saul became Paul and forced the church, pressed the church, first into the Jewish world, then into the Greek world. Saul of Tarsus was one of those forceful men. Not violent, but forceful. He would not be deterred. Wow, that's amazing. John was a bridge. Paul was a bridge. They were sent to speak of a greater kingdom than they knew in Judaism. Jesus said it. It's still true today. It's true in this room. It's already been proven in this room, I believe, this morning. The last line is the one that's most important. Jesus said, "He who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now I realize, closing this sermon, that while there's probably needy, spiritually needy people sitting in this room, you may not have ears to hear right now. Let me encourage you, keep coming to church. Be attentive. Listen. Not just with your physical ears for the sound that you may hear, but listen with your spiritual heart. It's in here. Listen, because the Holy Spirit may be speaking to you, and you really want to pay attention to that. You really want to pay attention. We're going to speak on prophecy again tonight, we're going to speak on prophets again tonight at 6 o'clock. If you don't have anything going, why don't you come back and find out what a New Testament prophet is? All right? Stand together. If you're glad you came to church, I want you to say amen. Amen. I'm going to dismiss you, and when I do, you're not allowed to leave this room until you shake hands with three people and say, "Boy, I'm glad you and I were at church together." You ready, Father? Go with us with the power of your Spirit. Let us take you out to a lost and dying world. Go with us. Bring us back tonight. Walk with us all day long. In Jesus' name, amen. Three people.